This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got the markets are down. The Dow is down. The S&P 500 is up. We've got a lot to talk about today. Tariffs with China and also the wedding season.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, in fact, the Dow is down 56 points or 0.2%, tumbling through 25,000 down to 24,957. NASDAQ up just 2 points. S&P up just 2 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index sliding 0.25%. China is positioning the move as a trade olive branch, saying it will cut car import tariffs from 25% to 15% July 1. Now, that will certainly help American carmakers, but not as much as it will help European ones. They have a larger share of the Chinese market. And after that initial news, we saw a pop higher for the larger equity market coming down from there clearly right now. We also have President Trump speaking with South Korean President Moon Jae-in, talking a little bit about the situation with North Korea, and Trump saying he's disappointed by the change in attitude from Kim. So investors are certainly following that public announcement, the joint press conference that's ongoing as we speak. Some earnings results. Stock in Kohl's is sinking. It was down about 7% after the retailer said it expects headwinds in the second half. Now, TJ Maxx and Home Goods parent company TJX, it's headed in the opposite direction, up about 3%, saying it expects good things in the back half of this year. We'll hear from Target tomorrow. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, it does look as if the president's going to take it a little more slowly with China. That's what they're talking about right now, and we will have a discussion on that.
JCPenney is looking for a new leader. Also, it is Travel Tuesday. How to take a slow vacation and why that may be in your best interest. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Wedding season is kicking into high gear. It can be very joyful and very expensive, even for guests, and that's coming up in our next segment. Right now, tariffs and China under discussion in the Oval Office, where President Trump just said the summit with North Korea may not happen on June 12th as scheduled. We're joined by Carl Tannenbaum, chief economist at Northern Trust here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Carl. Just a quick discussion about what's happening in Washington right now. This would seem to bother the markets if we get statements like this. Yeah, we were going to do it, but now we're not going to.
So I think the markets have become used to the brinksmanship and then retreat that has been the hallmark of some of the economic and diplomatic discussions in the last year and a half or so. I think we need to step back and remember that we're in a much better place with North Korea than we were, let's say, 3 or 4 months ago when nuclear tests were still active. It wasn't always going to be a smooth progression to the objectives that we have in the region. The same, Chris, can be said of the trade negotiations with China. Some of the imbalances there built up really over a 15-year period, and it's really unreasonable to expect that they're going to be solved in short order. I think market participants understand this. It could be another number of weeks or even months in some cases with trade negotiations before we get to equilibrium, but they're looking forward to a successful resolution.
Is there anything in that mix that you're particularly worried about?
Well, trade conflicts are never pleasant. We do have the risk that if they escalate, borders could close. That would cost a lot of American employment. It would create higher prices for our citizens, and the goodwill that we have internationally, which is something I think we need to sustain, would be jeopardized. One of the things about the China negotiations in particular, Chris, is that while it does seem like we've stepped back from making accusations to doing negotiations. There are so many issues related to trade that it would seem better to this observer if they would retreat and try and deal with them comprehensively instead of trying to solve first the farming issues or then the issues with Chinese technology. I think there are a broad range of things that need to be discussed.
China, a little back and forth with the U.S., China saying it's going to lower some tariffs, report the president may have a deal on ZTE. At the very least, we can say that there's something going on here in the background as the U.S. tries to bridge that trade gap.
Absolutely. It's better to be talking than making confrontational statements, Cisco, and I fully agree with that. But the depth of some of these things really defies the character limits on a tweet. For example, the reductions in tariffs on American car exports to China that have been offered by Beijing would probably not realign prices much to create a better opportunity for American car makers. So I think it's the responsibility of all of us to look beneath the tweets and the headlines to understand whether there's a real impact there.
Yeah, because they're really, I mean, what would it take for there to be a significant impact for American companies? Is it slightly lower tariffs like there is in the case of automakers?
I think in the case of automakers, and every product category, Cisco is different, but you have to change conditions enough to really move the needle. And when you're talking about the amounts of trade that they're trying to rebalance, you know, $100 billion or $200 billion a year, depending on who you ask, that's going to take a lot of adjustment, and it's going to create some pain on both sides.
We're going to be hearing from the Fed tomorrow. The Fed minutes are going to be released just as we're seeing more price pressures in the economy and oil is going higher and the pressures on the freight and cargo industries. What do you think we're going to hear from the Fed?
We'll probably see in the minutes of their proceedings a heightened concern about inflation. It has reached the 2% target just about. And many of the signs, Chris, going forward, whether it's energy prices or pressure building on wages from being at a low level of unemployment, that probably will have sparked concern amongst the participants. We're expecting the next move from the Fed in June, and I'm personally expecting two more before the end of the year just to make sure that inflation remains under good control.
Carl Tannenbaum, always good to have you on the show. Carl is chief economist at Northern Trust here in Chicago. Up next, making sure you don't break the bank this wedding season.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We're heading full tilt into wedding season. It can turn out to be a financial buzzkill for guests. Let's talk about keeping things in order. Craig Bolanos is joining us, founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness. So, Craig, are we talking about people buying gifts and spending a lot of money? Are we talking about them traveling to these destination weddings? Where is it where things go off the rails?
Well, how about the answer is all of the above. When you called me for this segment, it was perfect. I just went to an East Coast wedding this weekend, came back, and I said, oh, my heavens, this really is expensive. It wasn't the wedding gift. It was the clothes. It was the travel. It was the pre-party. It was the bachelor party. You wrap all that up. You do it once or twice in a year. It can really set you back financially.
Now, we have retail analysts on the show all the time that talk about us moving into the experience economy where people don't necessarily want things as much as they want experiences. Does that play into this the fact that they're willing to go all the way to New York or even to another country in order to be at a wedding?
I think there's something to that. You know, when I look at the trends in weddings, you know, you've got smaller guest counts, but the cost per guest is going up extravagantly. As you alluded to, people really want to have this all-inclusive, robust experience. And you're right. Everybody tends to value, you know, experiences more than stuff. So the preponderance of destination weddings is ever increasing.
Well, just at your supermarket, look at the magazines and at least half of them will have a bride and groom on them, a celebrity bride and groom. And, you know, look at last weekend and we all watched a wedding. This is something that everybody wants to do. That I did see the other day at Ann Taylor and some of these other stores are offering you can buy something that looks like you can go to a wedding in it and it's not as expensive.
you know what, there are definitely ways to, you know, lower the cost. You know, I mean, and the steps we always tell people is, you know, real quick. One, plan out your calendar. Weddings don't sneak up on any of us. As soon as you get to save the date, mark it in the calendar and create a budget. And you're right. You know, for fellas, I think the dress has always been a little bit easier. You know, we change out the shirt, the tie, maybe we get away with the same suit. But for the ladies, I understand the need and the desire to have a different outfit, a different dress at each event. And I think that's why retailers, like you mentioned, Ann Taylor, or even these dress rental companies like Rent the Runway, are literally runaway successes in today's market.
And when it comes to both the travel, if it's a destination wedding, and the gift, is it okay for you to say, hey, I traveled all the way out here, and that's my gift to you?
Well, you know what? When clients ask us all the time, they say, what do I do? I say, well, let's start with this. Are we going to treat everybody equally, or are we going to treat them fairly? And I think what you just mentioned, Cisco, if I'm going to scratch and save, bring my entire family out to go watch you, you know, get married in Mexico, well, then maybe I just need to account for that, and I don't need to give as big of a gift as the gift I would give my sister who's getting married in Naperville down the street, as an example.
Good try,
so
Cisco.
Good. No, now, see, he gave me permission to be a cheapskate. This is great. Thank you. Craig Bolanos, always appreciate you being on the show.
You're off the list. The wedding list.
Partner. No one's going to invite me now. Craig is Chief Executive Officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness. WBBM News Time, 12:25. A check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Leapfrog Technology Group. Here's Lisa Parenti.
Well, the Dow right now, Cisco, down 64 points or 0.25%, down to 24,950. NASDAQ up 4, S&P adding 2. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg sliding 0.33%. We have a check of the grains markets. For that, we turn to Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Smaller wheat and corn price out there, so we have higher prices. Corn's been up 4. We're up 2.5, 4.23.5. Wheat was up as much as 23. We're still up 19.25 in July at 5.26.5. And beans, after being up 10, are up 2 in November at 10.35.75. Higher prices across the board. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are sluggish today. We'll see what's affecting the markets.
Travel Tuesday, why you should try slowing down on your next vacation.
Starbucks continues to tweak its revised guest policy.
Chicago aldermen discuss rules that govern mobile retail vendors who operate similarly to food trucks.
President Trump says he doesn't like a change of attitude that he's picking up from North Korean leaders. Leader Kim Jong-un, adding their scheduled summit could be delayed.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 53.5, the NASDAQ up by 7, S&P 500 up 2.
Clouds in Chicagoland, still see some sunshine this afternoon, that's in the forecast. Right about our high for the day right now of 67, 66 at O'Hare, 66 at Midway right now, and 60 degrees along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Mixed returns on Wall Street so far today. We're joined by Brian Battle, Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Brian. Are the markets being affected by the conversation in Washington right now?
I think so, Chris. We have about an unchanged day today. Remember, up about 300 points yesterday on the relief that there was a trade deal between the U.S. and China, that trade war was going to be over. So I think that there's some, you know, malaise today that the biggest threat that there was going to be an all-out trade war has abated, and that's also good news for NAFTA that the U.S. won't go to have a trade war with Mexico and Canada. So it seems there's a trend developing here in trade negotiations that we talk about, you know, going full maximum trade war, and then we seem to back down. So that's given us some relief today, and the political geopolitical things between the U.S. and Korea are probably not having a net effect today.
And do you personally worry that this is going to get stuck, you know, that this is going to affect the markets?
Probably not. You know, probably the things that are affecting the market more than anything else are interest rates. You know, we've had slowly higher interest rates. We're at 3% on the 10-year and 3.20 in the 30-year treasury note, which probably doesn't mean much to most people, but 30-year fixed-rate mortgages touched 4.75%. So that's a number that everyone is familiar with. Our mortgage rates are at a multi-year high. So those higher, generally higher interest rates are probably the thing that's the most threatening to the stock market here in the U.S., that higher rates make it harder for businesses to succeed and to finance their business. It's also dangerous for emerging markets because as the U.S. interest rates go higher, our currency is also appreciating, and that makes it difficult for emerging market economies to get ahead if it gets harder to finance in the U.S.
Let's talk about JCPenney and your overall thoughts on Marvin Ellison leaving as CEO. He's headed over to Lowe's, and I guess there's some concern now about whether a turnaround will continue at JCPenney.
Yeah, it's a convoluted story. So Ellison was just named the head of Lowe's. He spent 12 years at Home Depot, didn't get the head job there, went to JCPenney for 4 years, and then couldn't get the turnaround done there, and so Lowe's is going to give him a shot. So Ellison gets to compete against his old company. So for Lowe's and Ellison, this might be a chance for Ellison to finally, get the head job at a home improvement company. It is bad news for JCPenney that and their stock price is showing some distress today, that they've lost a turnaround guy. He couldn't get the job done, but he left, and it's not positive for JCPenney because even last week there was an earnings call that he was on talking about long-term plans. So it looks like JCPenney was caught surprised by this move also. So not good news for JCPenney.
And kind of tough to imagine that another CEO, even if it's someone from the inside, could continue this program exactly the same way. I mean, and naturally, there's got to be some kind of disruption in the turnaround if Ellison leaves.
Absolutely. So four of the top executives at JCPenney are going to split those duties and try and get the initiatives that he of store efficiency, improving customer service, you know, trying to make that business better. But every CEO comes in with their own idea. So man or woman, they're going to come in and decide what they think is going to be best. But that's a really tough job, and they might have trouble filling that position because the situation is so dire, and it doesn't help the JCPenney story that the last guy, Ellison, left to go do something else. So it might look like he stepped out before he could even have a chance to get his business in place.
Brian, do you have recommendations for any of our listeners who are interested in what sectors to take a look at right now?
Yeah, so I'll repeat what we usually say. It's hard to, you know, diagnose a patient over the phone, you know, so your financial plan is highly individual. So just make sure you have balance in your portfolio and just make sure you have an investment plan. Don't be a trader, you know, don't follow the headlines. Make sure you're an investor and know what you own. And probably the one thing that people have most invested in is their retirement account or their 401k or IRA. Make sure where you're invested there. Even if it's an automatic investment from your corporation, make sure you know what your exposure is and make sure that you have balance between U.S. and domestic, large and small, growth and value.
Any thoughts on General Electric as talks of another dividend cut or kind of becoming louder?
Yeah, GE is another CEO story. John Flannery got the job about in August, and you remember GE was just starting to fall apart. They had a big finance part of their company that they got rid of, and GE is mostly a power and aviation and healthcare business, and they just sold part of their locomotive business. So that's about transportation is about $4 billion in revenue for GE, which compared to power and aviation is $35 billion and $27 billion. So it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things for GE, but it does show that their CEO is trying to change what GE is. And that means they want to make it smaller, and they want it to be about power and aviation. And aviation means jet engines and healthcare. That's all the diagnostic equipment. So they're making GE smaller to try and make it more profitable. This is a divestiture to make GE less risky and to get some cash back in the bank.
GE is sort of an interesting story. It just shows that you need to constantly pay attention to what's going on in companies. Just because they're old standbys doesn't mean they're necessarily always a good investment.
Exactly. exactly right, Cisco. GE has just been a dividend machine for years. Then they got really big. They turned into a conglomerate, and then they really turned into a bank. It turned into a financing business. So GE made a lot of stuff, but they made all their money financing or vendor financing to people that bought their stuff. And during the financial crisis, GE got caught as being over-leveraged. And so that led to the, I don't want to say it's a collapse of GE, but the recomposition of GE, going away from finance and just getting back to making stuff, which is what their history is. And they're getting there. Flannery, like I said, is the new CEO. He just got there last August, and he's trying to remake the company. And this is a positive thing for GE, that they are doing what they said they're going to do. It's just get back to making stuff in power, aviation, and healthcare.
We'll be watching that. Very interesting. Brian, thanks for joining us today. Brian Battle, Director of Trading, Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. Coming up, Travel Tuesday, getting more out of your time away by doing less.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour. This afternoon, we're discussing ways to get the most out of your next trip by slowing down. We're joined by Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher, joesentme.com, based in New York. When we talk about a slow vacation, Joe, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, hello, Cisco. I think as we head into summer, there's a lot of definitions of a slower vacation. But I think maybe the first thing people can do is not travel with a checklist wherever they go. Don't go with the list of the 10 places they must do. Go to the things you want to do. Savor one or two good things so that you remember it. I always think that people who go with this checklist end up seeing all the things on their checklist but remembering nothing. And I don't think that's a good way to have a holiday. So maybe see a little less but savor a little more.
And what about the, it seems like it's restaurant to restaurant to restaurant. As you mentioned, people end up packing so much into it. People don't necessarily like to cook when they're on vacation, but is that a way to also slow down?
Well, I think some people actually do like to cook on a holiday. If you're going into, say, an Airbnb or a VRBO where you have a kitchen and you can do it. But, you know, Europeans especially tend to have their serious meal in the afternoon and then in the evening, just snack, okay, or something very light. There's nothing that says, again, don't have that checklist of here are the 40, Yelp says here are the 40 best restaurants in this place I'm going to, and I have 5 days, so I'll eat in 30 of them. Unless you do want to, as they say, gorilla eat as your holiday, you know, I would say, again, a couple of really good meals, the rest of the way snack. Go to a local market, pick up the local specialty, whether it's cheese or a meat product or whatever it is locally, and eat like a local rather than eat like a tourist on a binge.
If you're going to be there renting a place, how do you know that you're going to get a really good place because you're doing it over here?
Well, Chris, I think you always have to approach any review, whether it's a review of a hotel or whether it's a review of a condo or apartment or a house rental by throwing out the lowest reviews and the highest reviews. It's the ones in the sweet spot in the middle that will tell you whether it's the property you want. But again, if you want a place to go cook, as this, what Cisco was saying, don't go to a place that only has a kitchenette. If a kitchen is not important to you, focus on what you do want, whether it's outdoor space. That's important to my wife, for example. She always looks for places with outdoor spaces. Good hangout space. If you're looking for a lavish bathroom because maybe your apartment doesn't have a great bathroom at home and that's a great holiday for you, focus on what you want rather than what the reviewers tell you is great. What you want may not be the same as the general reviewers. And don't worry about the 6 people out of 100 who hated it and the 5 people out of 100 who couldn't find anything wrong, and look at those 90 reviews in the middle and see what they say.
Great advice, Joe. Thanks for joining us today. Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of joesentme.com in New York. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, Starbucks works on its image through its guest policy.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
An incident involving the arrest of two black men at a Philadelphia Starbucks has prompted the company to take another look at policy in its stores. We are talking with Tom Serafin, founder and CEO of Serafin and Associates in Chicago. And an event like that, Tom, everyone hears about and has an opinion about. And Starbucks is back now saying that it's going to allow people to use its cafe and restrooms even if they don't make a purchase.
That's correct. You could walk in and sit down and relax most of the day. And if you need to use the restroom, most people usually do, you go ahead and use it. But you're not required to buy anything. Howard Schultz, who's the founder, CEO, executive CEO of Starbucks, said on May 10th that we are going to make the right decision 100% of the time and give people the key to that bathroom. And so they're following through with it.
So for a PR move, are other places going to have to do this too now?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, Papa John's, you know, tried to do this, not the same thing, but, you know, they tried to do something about supporting standing up for the national anthem when the NFL protests were going on. And it backfired on them. John Shatner eventually left the company as a CEO. So this is unique. I mean, Starbucks is a unique place. They've decided to opt in to the social conversation that we are having in our society today. Michael Jordan years ago was asked, you know, why doesn't he protest more, get out and speak to the issues currently in the newspapers? And he said, because Republicans and others buy shoes too. So this is an executive decision at the very highest level. Starbucks has decided to jump in and play. And, you know, they're getting criticism on both sides, but, you know, they're trying to do the right thing. And I think training is so essential here from a management and employee point of view. And as you know, May 29th, they're closing 8,000 of the company-owned stores to 24,000 to 25,000 around the world. 8,000 are going to close for anti-bias training that's going to take place in the afternoon. I think it's 3 to 7 o'clock in the evening.
Is Starbucks, Tom, unique compared to other companies in that it positions itself as wanting to be involved in sort of, you know, changing the world and really having that kind of influence? So they can't just let something like this go away. They have to do something.
Right. And, you know, there's some people in the boardrooms will say, well, let's, you know, tiptoe through some of these things. But, you know, Howard Schultz has made a name for himself, you know, in founding Starbucks. And, you know, he did the race together, R-A-C-E, together, printed on the cups, you know, in 2015. And that received a great deal of criticism. They backed off on that and they quit that practice. Then a couple years ago, his successor CEO, Kevin Johnson, tried to do the same thing by saying no guns in the stores. And that was mildly received by, you know, some people depending on the parts of the country. So they're very active. You're absolutely correct. They've jumped in 100%. They're managing their brand and in a sea of it's kind of a tough sea right down the world of dealing with social consciousness and at the same time trying to sell product over the counter. So you have to be very careful. And they're taking some risk and they're currently their stock is not rocking too much. It's been pretty steady for a while.
That's right. Tom Serafin, thanks for the insight. Founder, CEO of Serafin and Associates. A look at the markets from Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55. We're wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow is lower by 67 points or 0.25%. We're at 24,946. NASDAQ up 8 points or 0.1%. S&P adding 2. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg now losing 0.3%. Airline investors are bracing for lower profit margins as travelers take advantage of cheap flights. An abundance of seats means airlines have limited ability to boost fares, and most companies aren't willing to trim ahead of the summer travel surge. And at the same time, the price of jet fuel has climbed 48% from a year earlier. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.